Okay, thank you. Carol, who else is online, please?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Who else is online, please? We got you. There's another one that's dialed in. Last four, zero,
Matt,
seven.
Fran-
okay, thanks,
Matt Franzen.
All right, so I have 6:30. We will begin the meeting. Caitlin has called. She's running a little behind. Along with both the city attorneys. So we will start at this point. Those that are able, please stand and join with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Thank you. Please be seated. Finance officer, please take the roll.
Birch.
Each.
Here.
Lubins.
Here.
Mueller.
Here.
Okay, so at this time, we do have three members present. One absent in route, so we do have a quorum, and so we are now in session. So the first item will be the approval of any changes to tonight's agenda. You'll see two changes in yellow that we're proposing tonight. The SDPAA is our annual intergovernmental agreement. The full manager, if you'd like to do that in executive session to discuss that prior to action, we can do that.
So do we need a motion to go into executive?
When we get to that point, we can just move that to...
So do we need a motion to...
Make a change to the agenda?
Yes. Yes. Well, I know that, but
okay.
to add executive.
Then we'll have executive session. Okay. We just know we'll go ahead for personal reasons. If
I make a motion for the changes.
Got it.
So Cheryl's made the motion, and Steve has seconded two changes to the agenda that was previously published. Any other questions or discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion passes. Okay, so the next item is the minutes from the January 5, 2026 meeting.
I made a motion to approve the City Council meeting of January 5th, 2027.
I second.
So Steve's made the motion to accept the minutes of January 5th, 2026 regular meeting. Cheryl seconded. Any other discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. And yes. So that passes. Next item are the claims.
Make a motion to accept the claims as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, now is there additional discussion or comment?
Yep, I'm just going to say on number 34 for SDML for the municipal league. We didn't have that on there last month, but there was a mix-up with the invoice on the dues, so that check was sent back to voided, so that's why that one is on there. So just go to your left there.
Hopefully most of that, almost 2,000 was dues.
Yes.
And I would say that was one heck of a...
No. It's it's at least 15.
Any other questions, comments?
What's number 14?
14?
Yeah.
That would be.
That was for, that's for our attorney services.
Oh. We have to pay him. I don't have no other.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, those in, again, Larry has made a motion to accept the claims as written. Cheryl seconded. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. All right, next up is the finance officer's report.
I make a motion to approve as written.
Okay.
Okay, so Cheryl made the motion to accept the finance officer's report as written. Excuse me, Steve has seconded. Any discussion or questions? All right, hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed, nay. Finance officer's report is accepted. Item D, we have one donation, which is a $2,000 donation from Bonhomme County to the Springfield Ambulance Department. Is there action to accept that?
I make that motion to accept the $2,000 donation to the ambulance from the Bonhomme County.
I'll second.
Okay, so Steve made the motion to accept that donation as presented. Larry has seconded. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. Okay, the next item up. There's a public comment period, which is the time for persons to address the council on items not on the agenda. No action will be taken on any matter raised under the item until it may be on the agenda in the future. Each person is asked. They have only up to 3 minutes to speak. Comments made during the public appearance period. There will be no personal attacks against the mayor, members of the city council, or any individual. Anyone that would like to make a comment, please state who you are and where you live, please.
I would like to make a comment. My name is William F. Paulson, a lifelong local of this town, Springfield, South Dakota, also Park. In the world of business, you have to have compromise at some point in order to realize success. What I see up here is zero compromise. I hope for that sake, for your sake, that all changes after tonight. You calmed down the thunder. Well, now you got it. Chris, start with her. These are your lawsuits. I gave you every opportunity to leave me alone. I said 8 lawsuits. This is number 1. The next 3 are indefensible. You have no defense for them. None. Mayor after mayor, council after council. It's always the same story no matter who sits in your seats. I just turned 40. This ends with me. It's no longer going to be generational for the Paulsons. If it takes me 20 lawsuits or 40 lawsuits, I don't care. I don't care if I have to bankrupt this town and all of you in order for the systematic targeted harassment to stop. I'm going to do it. If I have to get liens against all of your properties, or if you have to start selling your husband's tractor collection in order for this to end, then that's what I'm prepared to do. Are you? Bo, you have a conflict. I expect a recusal email from you in the next 48 hours. This is the tip of the iceberg. Your second lawsuit is nearly complete. See you next month. I'm out of here.
Are there any other comments from the public?
Well, we've been going on 6 or 8 months on this new ordinance for the zoning and planning. Makes it pretty tough to plan if we don't get that taken care of. And I kind of have decided I kind of want to go along with following the rules as they're put in the ordinance, try and get something going on that building. And I just kind of think that if we have a street in town that doesn't have a speed limit, probably want to get a speed limit on it. I think it should kind of be the same deal with the ordinance that we need to get taken care of. So I'm just asking that if we can get this going a little faster, building season is going to be here before we know it. And that's our biggest concern, is if we can get something on the books so we can at least follow the rules to get a building permit put together. That's what I wanted to ask.
Okay. Hey, is there any other public comments?
Yes, this is Carol Hagan. May I ask who just spoke?
Yes. Can you name and where you live, please?
Bob Van Orb, 1306 Bluff Drive.
Sure.
I'm sorry, I did not catch the name.
It's Bob Van Orb, 1306 Bluff Drive.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comments? Okay. Moving on to the next item, which is official correspondence. So we did receive a letter from the South Dakota Governor's Office of Economic Development dated January 26, 2026, the City of Springfield. Dear Mayor Costell, I am happy to inform you that Governor Larry Roden has awarded the community of Springfield a $770,000 community development block grant to assist with the 11th Ash and Oak Street project. This grant is part of the state's continued commitment to community development. Springfield has done an excellent job of securing the funding necessary to make this project a reality. Projects of this magnitude are expensive to fund and require the commitment of a vibrant and growing community. As you move forward with the project, please continue to work with Stephanie Deo and the Governor's Office of Economic Development and John Clem with Planning and Development District 3 to complete the necessary paperwork. Best wishes for the continued success of the City of Springfield. Sincerely, Bill Evan, Commissioner, Governor's Office of Economic Development. So that will go into the 11th Ash and Oak project, phase four project folder. So that's should be the last piece from the state of funding and be moving forward with that, I think, at the next couple of meetings to get some engineering work and some things started once we figure out where everything is sitting and we can start moving on that. And that, of course, is the three blocks around the school, plus another block that was added in for full utility street and storm sewer. Okay. You have copies of your departmental reports. Just a couple highlights. We did actually have a little snow again, so Don did do a little snow clearing on Sunday morning. There was a little bit of work done on the fuel pumps out at the airport. Ambulance, there were 8 calls in January. They're a pretty busy January already. And with that, I know Kelly's here. Do you have anything you want to add for your library piece?
No.
I will you have anything you want to add about?
No, I heard the same case.
Okay. So with that, I will be heading to Pier tomorrow for the Municipal League Days and the rib dinner. Not much on the agenda for tomorrow or Wednesday yet that I've seen to stop at Capitol Hill, but hopefully I'll get to see our district legislators. I've already reached out to them, so hopefully I get a few minutes with them. To get caught up. There's one, a couple things that I'm tracking. The biggest one, which was going to be on there for Wednesday, but I see it's off the agenda now. There is a, what they call a cleanup bill for, Chapter 9, Code 9, which is municipalities. This thing's about a 30-page thing. It just goes by, and when they call it cleanup, they touch language. They make some comments. It generally doesn't change anything inside of it. It just gets it up to date. They cycle through these annually. So that's Senate Bill 156. So if you're out looking for something to read, you get that, and then you have to go into each one. It just shows the little updates. So I didn't pitch anything initially, but if council members sit and take a look at it, please let me know or let us know if there's anything interesting or something that you need clarification, certainly reach out. Okay. All right, and up to the water plants. Before we hit Fymers, as you saw in the report, we're getting pretty close, so pretty much at any time the building's cleaned out so they can start bringing it down. The utility is disconnected as far as electricity, so the main building can start coming down once Fymers ready, and it's kind of a weather call and a time to do it. So
if that happens, can somebody
call? Yes, we'll reach out. Assuming they tell us. But yeah. So they get that taken care of. Which keeps us on track and to finish out the project this year. And then the one intake pump that was repaired under warranty is back up and running. I didn't get word if they got, they're waiting on a part for the second one, which they will do on site. Okay, with that, you can see we have payout number 33, which is $17,622.50. Which again is primarily some work in January, a little bit of dirt work and a few things in the plan.
I'll make that motion to approve the FEMA payment at number 33 for $17,622.50.
So Steve made the motion to approve a FEMA payout number 33 for $17,622.50. And Caitlin has seconded. Any other discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. And that passes. Just incidentally, when we had our last meeting here a couple weeks ago on budget, we seemed to be tracking pretty good, so we're going to be right up to utilizing the grant. Once we have the bathrooms, still looking at
the 23rd.
Of this month. So just so everybody's clear, they're going to remodel these two bathrooms to be ADA accessible. So.
And therefore, we will not be putting anything
while they're doing that. So we won't have anything here. In the event that it looks like the next council meeting, if we don't have bathrooms yet, they're going to try to have at least one open. Well, looking open a location somewhere right behind, right before that, we can either jump back to the fire department or something so we have the facility. And then we'll make sure that there's information out to the city. And Rocks, Becky is tracking as well, so they're aware. Okay, next item up going into old business is the Personnel Policy Manual, Section 3. Back up for a second. Yeah, I did put the airport in there because we have closed it out. So we have a final invoice, DGR. The final closeout paperwork has gone forward. So the feeding, we know is warranty, and if anything else comes up, it'll be warranty. But we were able to close that out last year.
And has everybody signed their agreement?
The agreement is not signed yet.
Yeah,
that part's being done. So DGR has their final invoice. Now we're on to, are there any questions on here? So now we're on to the personal policy manual, section 3. Should be from picking up. The first thing we'd have to do if we want to continue the discussion is pick it up from the table.
I make a motion to pick it up from the table.
Second.
Okay, Cheryl's made the motion. Steve seconded to pick up the personal policy manual discussion. Section 3 from the table. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And nays, hearing none, the motion passes. It is now off the table and open for discussion.
I make recommendation based on information received and some of my own calling different communities and personal employers. I make a motion that part-time employees receive the benefit of participating in the South Dakota retirement system, and only that benefit.
Are you including like the holidays and that type of thing too?
No. The only benefit will be participating in the retirement system, South Dakota retirement system. That is my motion.
Okay, so to get clarified up, to get us where back to where we're at, we would be in part 3.2, which is a part-time employee benefit eligible.
Right. The benefits eligible for part-time employees, anybody who works less than 40 hours.
Okay, and you're...
And I have other... I have like three motions, but we'll start with this one.
The suggestion, I can put it together.
Yeah.
And follow motions.
Okay.
To amend the draft.
Okay, so the motion now would be to amend the draft, since nothing is final yet. Am I correct?
Yes, this is my proposal.
Okay. Okay, so the first one was, I'm sorry, yeah, motion to amend to...
my motion is anybody who... My proposal is anyone who works less than 40 hours will only be allowed to participate in the retirement system. No other benefits will be allowed.
Okay, so that would be...
We're going to have to grandfather clause, Gary. And
that's my...
Further.
Okay.
I'll be quiet.
that would be once, if we approve this, then those who are currently part-time need to be grandfathered in. That needs to be taken care of.
Understand.
Okay.
my apologies. This is Vance Branson. Is this item open for discussion with the public at all?
Not just yet, because we have a motion on the table. So, without a second. So, not open for discussion just yet. Would it be? Well, anyway, we need to deal with one before we do the other. So, Cheryl has made a motion to go into personnel policy number
3.2,
part-time employee benefit eligible. And the only benefit would be outside of those required by other state law or federal law, participation in the South Dakota retirement system.
Of those who work less than 40 hours.
Those are definitely close.
Second that so we can get the discussion.
Okay, so Larry has seconded the motion. So we'll now move it out. It is open for council discussion.
In reviewing what we received from three communities who have responded with their benefits for part-time employees, and I also contacted various communities and private employers, and most of them do not give benefits for anyone who works less than 40 hours a week. I think with holidays and vacation time, sick leave, I really believe we need to pull in the purse strings a little bit. And when we can save money for the taxpayer, I think this is a benefit that we need to look at. And that's where I'm coming from, is other people who work part-time do not get this, and I'm looking at the taxpayers' money, and when I took the oath of office, that is one thing that I did, is to ensure that I was going to be a good steward of the taxpayers' money, and I think this is something that we need to really look at.
Mayor,
yes, go
ahead. This sort of goes along with the anticipated second motion. That a certain employee who would be classified as a part-time employee get benefits that are not in line with the classification of a part-time employee. This is not the same as planning and zoning. Let me preface this. This is my unresearched legal opinion at this point, just with my knowledge of limited knowledge of it, employer law. I don't believe that this is the same and that there's a grandfathering that can occur. Because if you make an exception for that one employee, then you've created a new class altogether. So it is my understanding and belief.
Can we research that further?
I'd be happy to.
Not sure, you're a legal expert, not me, but I know of cases that happen, but maybe it's not with state or city.
Okay.
This is Carol Hagan. Just to make a comment, one of our largest employers here in the community, which is the state, do allow benefits for part-time employees. Just a comment.
And I did contact the state. But we are not the state. And I think that we need to be very careful how we pay, spend taxpayers' money. And this is one thing that I think we need to really look at. Just my opinion.
Vance, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a comment that we do have an employer in the community that is paying benefits to part-time employees. Not voice an opinion one way or the other as to my personal thoughts about it.
And that's why I believe that needs to be grandfathered in, and I think we need to do further research that we can grandfather that individual in.
Okay, we're back to you, Vance, now since you were the first one to speak up. Do you have a comment regarding this?
My only comment would be that according to the state, that is only for permanent part-time employees, and they have to work at least 1,000 hours a week. So, you know, I'm not familiar and educated enough on this issue, but I would say whatever you do, don't run counter to whatever the state is already doing, right? So if you're working less than 20 hours a week, you shouldn't qualify. And if you're not a permanent part-time employee, you probably shouldn't qualify either.
Because we did have Marilyn, is that you online?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Marilyn Stone joined us online. All right, continue back to this discussion. And for those online, just so you know, the room here is cleared out except for Larry Dion with the rope wire. So.
The only thing I would like to add is the part-time employee with a regular schedule for work hours. If we have a snow event, for example, and a part-time city employee has to work outside of his normal schedule, how does that fit into what you propose?
Oh, that's overtime. Now you're running into probably overtime or is where you're going, and that changes of the yearly work schedule. because if you work on the average, that's what we're dealing with, on the average of 20 hours a week, how are you going to do holiday pay? We just had an example of 3 days of holiday pay for somebody who only works 20 hours and they get 3 days of holiday pay. We just had that because we follow the state holidays, which is fine. I have no problem with that. And that's where we have to be looking at how we want to do this in the future. And that's where this...
I understand the holiday pay and those side of benefits. What I'm more interested in understanding, we had a snow event this weekend, a small one, yes. The city employees were still taking care of our city, doing their work. I don't know if we had any part-time employee that came in outside of his regular schedule. A part-time employee, in my mind, shouldn't be put in a position where they're asking for overtime because their schedule can be adjusted or should ideally be adjusted.
And that's where you fall into this, okay, I can adjust my schedule because I see the state's going to allow 3 days of vacation time coming up. So I can adjust my schedule so I can get 3 days of holiday pay. And I didn't work.
Yeah, the holiday pay is, I'm in complete agreement with that. I'm talking about actual time worked.
And I understand all that. I think the next step we need to do is make sure that the part-time employee that we have will be able to continue the benefits that were granted to him or her by a previous council. And I think we need to look at future to ensure that present full-time employees don't decide that they want to go part-time because they're going to get full-time benefits, and then we end up hiring another part-time employee because we have to have that position filled. That's my concern going future.
Yeah,
I'm not disagreeing with the
holiday pay or those situations and those kind of benefits. My focus is on actual time work. That's the only thing, and adjusting to emergencies and things like that for actual time work is my concern. The other benefits, I'm agreement. That's well.
Larry, I think what you're talking about is like the compensation, which is a different section that we haven't gotten to yet.
Okay.
So that's where I think that would fall into.
Okay. I'll buy off on that.
I think one of the other things that you're bringing up about the concern of somebody going back and forth, the council is going to approve what that is. So no employee can just say, okay, I'm just going to go to part-time and I'm going to keep all my benefits. So that's a change in status. Yeah.
But I think this needs to be tabled again. And I think, okay, I'm going to make the motion. We table it until we hear from the attorney to ensure that we can grandfather in any current part-time employees, because I do believe that is something that we need to do, that a previous council has approved, and we need to ensure that that has continued until that individual either resigns, retires, whatever. So that is my, so my other motion, I guess.
Wait, so let's back up to a second. Your current motion that was actually on Larry had seconded. Would you like to rescind it?
I don't want to rescind it. What I want to do is table it. Oh, am I right?
Well, you need to vote on the motion.
Right. Yeah. You need to. You should probably rescind that motion and then make a whole new motion, Cheryl, to look into what you want to look into to make this simple.
Okay. To make it simple, I will rescind then my motion and make a new motion. And my new motion will be
okay, go ahead.
My new motion will be upon legal counsel, we want to hear to ensure that any current part-time employee can be grandfathered in until we pursue changing policy PP 3.2. That sound right?
I think in the bigger scheme, it's probably what you're trying to get at is let's separate out policy 3.2 from the rest.
Well, we've already done that. I thought we did that. That's why this section was tabled.
It's the whole
section. The entire section 3 was tabled. Section 3.
3.2 has been tabled.
No, the entire section has been tabled.
That's what we've been working on the last couple. So at this point.
This is the only section that we tabled is 3.2, the part-time employee. the way I understand, we have been going through and everything else has been okay except for the part-time employee we haven't kept out. And that is this 3.2.
I think it was the entire section.
So you're talking about the whole section 3.1, 3.2.
Section three. Okay. Then we'll say
the entire section.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can drill down and that one subsection. You could do that and address the rest of it.
I guess that's where I thought we were at. I guess I misunderstood. But I thought the only thing that we had pulled out and not agreed on was the part-time employee.
I think that's the only one that's had comments on it. Apparently the one not necessarily pulled out, but the only one that had comments on it other than breaking up the potential of going to PTO.
So how about at this point, let's not table yet. Leave it as a discussion point. And you said you had two more comments or
motions? Yes, I have a couple more.
Could we talk about that so then we can look at that section? I can update it.
We already are talking about, because my next motion would have been to ensure that anyone who is currently part-time employee mm-hmm. would receive the benefits that were granted to them by previous council.
That was the second one.
That was my second
one.
What
was your third one?
My third one was to ensure that any full-time employee who decided to go part-time understand they're going to follow under the new guidelines if this would be approved. I don't want any in the future, 10 years from now, somebody decided they want to go part-time and get full-time benefits. So.
But they're not allowed to go part-time unless the county approves it.
Yes, that's true.
May I ask another question? Yeah.
Looking at benefits as opposed to compensation for work as a different benefit. The work and benefits are two completely separate things. I muddied the waters bringing work time into it. So I apologize for that.
Go ahead, Vance. What's your question?
If you were to grandfather someone in on this program, does that mean you retroactively contribute the 6% matching as the state does for SDRS? And my follow-up question to that is, has there been a cost analysis done on what that will cost the city and how far back you have to go?
Don't know that we shouldn't necessarily leave it about that.
There would be nothing. I guess
that's an employee.
Yeah, that would be a little more. You can go more into an question on a potential active employee. So we'll leave
that. I think he's asking if there's somebody that retroactively we change this that they just get SDRS benefits. Would anybody be able to get that 6% match if we have to bring them up to that? Does that make sense? That's how I heard that, not specifically.
That would not apply. They wouldn't qualify.
So as far as the cost analysis, too, that's kind of a moot point because it doesn't fall.
Okay. So I think we're all under the understanding there's more discussion and there's a little bit more things that we need to do. The other, the other sections, 3.3, which is part-time benefit, part-time employee non-benefit, are there any other questions or comments on that? There were no remarks or nothing submitted. That was pretty straightforward. If you're not benefit eligible, you're a part-time employee, which is qualified as somebody that works fewer than 20 hours a week. So if that's okay, if there's no other comments that need to go in there to get done or received. And then 3.4 is the classification of a temporary or seasonal employee, which are outlined there as either an employee that works a variety of hours, but no more than 165 days or 5.5 months per calendar year. So that's the category for lifeguards and some of those kinds of the seasonal folks that we have. So that has to stop. So those are the other, and then 3.5 is.
We can remove that one because per IRS, that PPACA for small businesses with fewer than 50 full-time employees, we don't need.
Yes and no.
I think at this point in time, it's not necessarily a motion to do anything individual. I think when we circle back around, we're either going to table it in its entirety and go through another draft. Probably the best way, since we have a pretty good discussion on one, and we just found one that's going to be stricken and removed completely, it's probably best to.
Do I not have a motion on the table?
Yes, I think you do.
And so,
if I can, can I suggest just a better wording to your motion?
You can suggest all you want.
I think that you should just reword it and just say that your motion is to. That part-time employees only receive the South Dakota retirement system as a benefit, anyone less than 40 hours a week, contingent upon Bo looking into if current employees can receive.
I don't want to ask you for. No, I'm going to rescind my.
No, thank you. Rescind it.
I'm rescinding it based on what Bo can find out. So it's off the table.
So you're rescinding the second motion as well?
Yes. Everything I'm rescinding until I hear from legal.
This is Carol Hagen. May I suggest that instead of saying works 20 hours a week, you change that wording to scheduled for 20 hours? Because you may have part-time employees that if they end up having no vacation time, may gain permission to work only 10 hours one week, but they were still scheduled for 20.
I think that goes into Larry's.
I guess part of it is who's doing the work scheduling. If it's a part-time employee, is it his section supervisor? Who has the approval authority of their work time?
I would say it would be between mayor and supervisor.
I'd be inclined to agree with that.
So are we amending the wording from works to schedule?
No, I'm rescinding everything. So I guess if I rescind.
No, that's fine.
We're making it open, so we're just in discussion.
Okay.
So,
okay. But do we need to vote?
Maybe we have to put it back on the table. That would be a motion.
So then I make a motion that we put this back on the table.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Any other discussion or comments? And so at this point, and I'll throw my comment up first, so we'll put this back on the table. We're at about 3 months now. We'll put it on the agenda to bring it back, but I think we need to probably, if we're at 3 months, there's some questions out there. So before it gets brought back in, attorney's got a couple things to research and HR. Let's get them out and at least get those, you know, if we can get them in enough time so that you have them before the meeting so that when we bring it back on, that's all fair. So
I think we just need to do it. Yeah. Once we get confirmation of what we can and not do. So I'm inclined to exactly what you're saying. If it doesn't happen next month, it's just something we need to look at in the future.
So, really what's, I think the basic line of your question is, how does this impact our current employees when this gets Should this get approved, and that includes all employees, full-time, everybody falls underneath here. So what happens to them? Do they change if we have changes in here? That's probably the big question. Not for a single one or anything, but it could impact any employee that we have. So does it change any current agreements that are in existence? Were made it fully in good faith. So. Okay. Any other comments then or further discussion? Otherwise, we'll put this on so that we can get going. Hearing none, then those in favor of the motion to return Section 3 to the table, say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. Okay, so we are returned to the table. All right, so next item will be the 12 police department policy.
And I know the question was from last time. Oh, I'm sorry, I keep being picked up.
I make a motion to pick it up.
Second.
Okay, so the motion to pick up the 12 critical police policies from the table made by Cheryl, seconded by Caitlin. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Okay, so that now is picked up from the table.
Okay, so I had followed up with the question about specifically like the internal affairs portion on the police policies. And when I visited with Jeff Lanning from Safety Benefits, and specifically on how to proceed with a one employee or one officer department, he said with all the policies, whether you have only one or numerous, you still need to have them in place. With internal affairs, this is for complaints against an officer. It can be referred to the mayor or council. So if it's a criminal complaint, then it should be referred to another agency. company, DCI, or control. So.
And in regards to what you received, can we include that in there to, in that policy? To what state said that we just defer it to who?
It, I'd have to look back at it. I guess I am reluctant to change the policy because it is provided from LORMI through safety benefits, but I can certainly put that kind of with the policies as additional information, if that makes sense.
It's like our if you want, we have to have it, but that would be our
yep.
That would be more like a policy that we would have to make it work.
I think we need it. We have what's our chef, the problem.
And there are a host of them. I'll see if that one is as part of those other things.
The only comment I question, and I understand a lot of this is canned from what needs to be, but when I was reading through it, like in the second page, it talks about this sheriff. It says police/sheriff. If this is our document, should it just be police and not sheriff? Just kind of a technicality. I'm just wondering. Do I need to make a motion on that? Or is that just a...
That would just be as amended.
Do you want to look at the policy then we can...
I think it would be fair to, if you are okay with it, to... To okay the 12 critical policies now, and then look at an additional policy on how to outline how internal affairs happens.
The multitude of information in there that is very beneficial. A lot of it doesn't apply, and when I'm the more I read it, the more I recognize it will have not necessarily workarounds, but find a way to do the steps. And we're doing the same thing, just under different terminology.
And you're saying we don't have it in that way to be compliant, I guess.
Change.
Yep.
I guess I can make a motion then to approve 12 critical police policies.
As you said.
As amended with the removal of sheriff.
Okay. As amended with the removal of sheriff.
There may be some places that it may pertain, but I did notice there was a couple places that I think would pertain.
There was a number of places that it didn't. Or if you're sleeping more than one.
Button. Right. And at that point, I would say to approve it as presented because I don't want to, this is just my personal preference, that I don't want to remove some of them and have the wrong ones omitted.
There was just some of the things when I was reading through it, I noticed like, with contraband, that maybe the sheriff's department may be involved, but there was other areas that I thought it's just we
leave it because then it's redundant and it is how they presented it.
Yeah.
And we even he works closely with the sheriff's office. And, that's something might overlap under that position. We took. Okay, and present it then. Okay.
All right. So Kaylin has made the motion to approve the 12 critical police policies as presented. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And Larry has seconded. Is there any additional discussion, questions, or comments?
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed, nay. Okay. So those 12 policies come online. And then our next step is we still would need some local things in order to address how to make these implement specifically. Okay. Now moving on, continuation of old business, the 2026 Fire Department Maintenance Agreement Amendment, that was from December when that was presented. Larry Young is here from the Rural Fire Department. They have addressed this with theirs. So I will let you take over from there. We amended it based upon Cheryl's recommendations for something wrong.
So as it's presented in the packet, the changes are in red with the strike throughs or what is to be taken out. I will say that I did change it where it says this agreement made and entered into this first day of January. I did amend that to 2nd of February so it lines up. But otherwise, I believe it went in front of the Rural Fire Department, and they were okay with that for the...
Yeah, we had our board meeting January, and we agreed to the 1821 and 2400.
Yep. Yep. So 1800 for 26, 2100 for 27, and then 2400 for 2028.
So it'd be 2 years, not one.
3 years.
Okay, well, you're taking the
Where are we going to go with work here until I got back to you to make sure? Or you might think a month.
Well, the first year would be in 2027, correct?
No, it would be
26. This is an amendment to the current year because we started the
I'm sorry, yes.
So 26, which is now we're going to pay 18.
Yes.
27. Yeah. 2100.
Is that for last year?
Yes, because that was the current agreement. That's it. So this is the amendment to that agreement.
So you're going to give him a check?
Okay. Yes. Gotcha. So I paid the original $1,200, and then I will.
Yes.
Yes.
The agreement was to do it and have to see what Rural Fire would do in January. Okay. So we had to have an agreement to start the 1st of January, so we did that.
Got it.
We're amending that agreement. That's or you're amending.
So okay. Next month we're going to have another check for Shannon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I see that there is a typo. And it's the second paragraph that starts with witness at, how do you say it, where it has the 1 year, it should be 3, so that it jives with the rest of it.
I'll make a motion to approve the amended 2026 Fire Department Maintenance Agreement as amended.
I'll second.
Okay.
Larry?
Yes.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so Caitlin's made the motion to approve the 2026 Fire Department Maintenance Agreement amendment as amended, which is the typo in paragraph 2, which will change one paragraph, parentheses 1, to 3, parentheses 3. For your hand. Are there any other comments or questions or discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. And that motion passes. Okay, the nuisance property update. We're going to discuss the first one, Jones. There is a legal update. We'll do that in executive session. The Ritchie property is just as it stands. So where we are, there may be a legal item there, too, for executive session. So Other than that, I have other report. We also have, as far as planning and zoning discussion, we're still where we were. So, any comments? Anything else on that?
Has the committee been formed, I guess?
No. Not to our knowledge. So. Okay. But that draft is still out there. So.
And then as part of, are you asking if there's been any changes to it?
Yeah, there's no changes to it. It still is out there, so we don't have any for discussion, I guess, at this point.
Okay. There's still need planning and zoning.
Yeah. Okay. Going on new business, CIP review. This, you know, remember when we started the capital improvement plan, it's scheduled for to be revisited annually. So this is a discussion item. For right now to kind of get us back into it and see what's there so that we can update it and shift it from 25 to 29 to 26 to 30. I'm specifically looking at, it should be page 36. It's Appendix A, which had improvements by year, just to kind of go over what we have that had 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30 in it. So a couple.
Page 36 of the actual CIP.
Yeah, page 36 of the actual CIP. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Which is 65 of the package.
Okay. So a couple things when you look at like 26. The one thing that was on there was water tower coating, which is an ongoing with that crew. So that one's already worked there. And then the other items, well, that was it for 26. So we have addressed at least for this building, we have our submission that's currently at FEMA in Washington for backup generator. For this building, there's no update on that at this time. So that's the community service center, and of course the bathrooms are going under the ADA, under the water plant. We move down to number 7, which is the 11-Oak utility reconstruction. We addressed that tonight, so that project's moving forward with the additional funding we received. That's listed as 29. That will actually probably be a 27 and 28 on the ground project. So that one is moving along and will be probably just a little bit ahead of time. The trail system, which we'll address this year because we did get the grant last year, last fall. So we have this summer essentially to use that. That's just the rehab of our trail here in town. So if you kind of look through, then I just went through the rest of the appendix to kind of split some things out. Obviously the dollar numbers probably beyond the 11th action over, you know, are all estimated at one time. So we're probably not doing a $1.3 million trail completely around town. We're right now just addressing what we have. So things like the community service centers improvements, the restroom remodel, which was item number 2, is being addressed this year. And then the item number 4, emergency backup, that's in the works. Don't know what the status will be there. So.
This is Carol Hagen. May I address the council on this subject?
Yes, go ahead.
I want to go back to page 22. It says page 22 at the bottom of the document. It is under stormwater. The second paragraph said there were only, when this was put together, there were only 2 deficiencies noted, and that was in drainage basins 1 and 2. I have addressed the council on this before, and I have the minutes from when the plan was developed back in 2017 to note that the city's work that was done on curb and gutter in 2013 created a deficiency in Drainage Basin 8. So I would like to see Drainage Basin 8 added to this paragraph as acknowledged by the councils throughout the years. And then in conjunction with that, I would like to see the project to correct the illegal action that the city took back in 2013 to have the remedy for that added as a project and put on the schedule. And I did provide, as an information thing, I met with the mayor back in October to discuss other issues connected with the problem on that corner, and provided the mayor with a copy of the South Dakota Drainage Manual to back up my claim as to what I believe is the city responsibility for this. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Anything else on discuss on that? We'll have it. This was discussion, so we'll have to make some updates. At this point, District 3 now it will be one that assists us in taking updates because the contract with ISG, of course, was to get the admissions. So as you see something, we'll make deal with them and see what kind of timeline they will have to make some adjustments and try to get onto a regular schedule here so that we can do this and have it done before we go into the next budget discussion, so that we can see the projects that are out there.
Was it fair to say to have page 39 returned back to the office so then we can use that to
yeah.
move forward?
Yeah.
And then adding any of the other ones, which we can add then the 8th and Maple to that as well, my girl.
So on page 39, add 8th and Maple?
Add 8th and Maple. But also to where it says to rank it.
Okay.
If you could go through and do that, you know, this is kind of homework. So go through and rank it. And then if there's anything else in there or something different you would like to add, whatever, just add that back in, hand it in, and I can put it all together.
I think the issue, this is Carol again, the issue with the 8th and Maple situation is the estimate that was received back in 2024, I'm sure is very much outdated, plus what had been proposed at that time was not an acceptable solution to me. So I think this particular project would need a lot more work to define what is actually involved and what the estimated costs would be.
Yeah, this is not most of these were estimates. They weren't engineer research. So.
Yeah. So the city should have copies of those estimates that the council was provided back in 2024.
Any other question or discussion on that? It's not a, again, it's not a discussion piece, so there's no action required at this point. Okay, hearing none, then we will move on to the next item, which is the Historical Society Property Insurance Memorandum of Agreement. Marilyn Stone is online. Are you still there, Marilyn?
Yes, I am here.
Marilyn's the president of the Springfield Historical Society. And for the purposes here, again, both myself and Cheryl are on the board, so we have not been involved with the historical society piece, and we'll be doing much with this other than to help answer some questions. So I will pass it off to Amanda and Marilyn.
Great.
Do you want me to start, Marilyn, or would you like to?
Go ahead.
Okay, so it was brought to the city as part of the Historical Society and rising insurance costs on there, and that there might be a way to go under the city's insurance through SDPAA, which is South Dakota Public Insurance Alliance, and, like I said, kind of have them come in under the city's umbrella for the property insurance. We had visited with Lynn Brand, the president, at the very end of December, and sat down and visited with her on what that would mean and how it would work. And she provided this memorandum of understanding, which has been going between Maryland primarily and myself to basically, obviously, personalize it with the information for the Historical Society as well as the College Museum. So you'll see it in your packet. It's page 89 and 91 of the packet. So it's basically an agreement that would be renewed annually to cover the property at 709 8th Street, which is the Historical Society Museum, and then the College Museum located at 711 8th Street. And basically says that the compensation would happen where when we get the bill, when the city gets the insurance bill, we typically pay that with, like, the March claims. The city would pay it and then invoice or get reimbursed by the Historic Society to cover their costs.
In other communities.
What's that?
In other communities do this.
Yep, it's something that is offered under South Dakota Public Insurance Alliance. So we are not the first.
And it hopefully will save us. The insurance has been going up and up, and we're getting the last insurance bill was It went up from in 2022, it was $2,200, and now in 2025, it was $5,500. And we don't even know, because they don't send the bill until they want you to pay it, what it would be for 2026. So we think that the estimate that we would get by going through the SDPAA was about $2,500 added together, so that would be half of or less of what we would be charged on the commercial insurance policy. So that's why it would be reasonably within our budget, whereas the current insurance is not within our budget, because our budget is about $100 a month for cans and then occasional other donations. Plus, we're trying to save money for building improvements, especially a new roof. Are there any questions?
Anybody have any questions with Marilyn or the agreements or anything that she brought up? So, if not, again, Cheryl and I are both board members, so we're kind of sitting with the go ahead.
I'm going to abstain from this vote.
Yeah. I didn't hear what she said.
She's going to abstain if there's a vote.
Oh, yeah.
Again, for the other council members, if there's a comment or a question to Marilyn, otherwise, if there's any action on the MOA. And I think, I don't know, you mentioned it or Marilyn mentioned it. This is for buildings only. Liability insurance is separate, and that's handled by the Historical Society separate, and it's not a part of this. This is only a facilities piece.
Right.
And then, like the other organizations have found that we have some connection with, the Historical Society will provide their liability insurance coverage for the city. So it's not filed. Okay. I probably said too much, Charlie. All right. Is there any action or any other questions so we can?
Well, I'm going to make the motion to approve the Historic Society Property Insurance MOA as presented.
Okay. So Steve's made the motion to approve the Historical Society Property Insurance MOA as presented. Caitlin has seconded. Any other discussion or comments, questions for the council? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. There's one abstention. So that passes. This becomes effective in April. So,
right. We're insured until the 20th of April on our old policy. Thank you very much for this time.
Okay. Thank you, Marilyn.
Okay. Goodbye.
Okay. Next item is the 2025 annual report. So we'll turn over to Amanda.
Okay, that's something that we have done previously where we enlist Schoenfisch to do our annual report. It's basically the whole financial report for 2025 that is required by the state, I want to say May 31st of each year. So this is basically okaying that agreement with them to go ahead and do the report.
And they've done it all before.
Yes.
They've done a good job, as long as I know. Why not continue?
I appreciate them very much.
I don't want to take anybody else or jump on it, but I'm going to approve the 2025 annual report agreement with Schoenfisch as presented.
So Steve's made the motion, Larry seconded to approve the 2025 annual report agreement with Schoenfisch as presented. Again, this is for them to prepare it for the city. Any other comments or discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion passes. Next up, and we have Vance on the line, is a water deposit waive request. From Vance Branton, also known as 702 or Branton LLC. So this is for a recent purchase that the Brantons made. It's the apartment building, kind of commonly known as CR apartments, the block apartments on Walnut Street. You can see the warranty deed. He purchased them, or the LLC, Branton LLC, purchased them as of 21 January. Under our current ordinances, there are four apartments there that are actually that are on individual metered water to the apartments or individual accounts, and then there's normally a fifth one per ordinance that's a utility one. That's there. All four of those accounts are open and active at this time, so they all have their deposits and everything. So as you can see, the letter from Vance is there requesting just the water deposit exemption for the one utility connection, which is allowable under the ordinance. The council can forgive it at this point. Normally, after a year, they probably would get it back anyway. So,
yes.
So Vance, do you want to add anything on to that or any plans? And then we'll go into the action.
No, sir. You said it all, so.
So with that, as long as everybody understands, there are four active accounts right now that are there. This is just the fifth utility one. There still would be an account that's just waiving the deposit.
I'll make a motion to approve the water deposit waive request as presented.
Second.
Okay. So Larry's made the motion. Steve has seconded to approve 702 LLC's request to waive the water deposit as presented. Any additional discussion, questions, questions for advance, as long as he's online? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. So that motion carries. Okay, thank you, Vance. The next item in new business, this is only for discussion, is a police potential a police vehicle. At this point, I'll give you my piece, and I know it's been off the shop to calls. He did not do any transmission work on it, so I did discuss it. He'll do a service on the transmission. He didn't do anything. There wasn't a great feeling that there was anything a major concern at this point. The vehicle is out of warranty. It's a 2019. It was not programmed this year. New vehicle is about $47,000 under the new state contract that came out. Outfitted completely 100% is about $65,000. But 3 to 9 month lead time. So I think we're okay. I know he's going to school here pretty quick. There'll be a little bit more service be lined up. It's something that, given that it's out of warranty, probably will need to be a 2027 for sure thing. It's just something, of course, the council should be aware of too, just in the event that we need to do something in the short term. We have reached out to a couple agencies to include the state. They're still working through, you know, if we needed to pull in a replacement under short term for something major. And then we do have some insurance if we. But that's not an available thing, so.
I would like to see a competitive bid with Ford dealer. I have no problem with this, but I think as we would do with our own vehicle, you would get a competitive bid, and I'd like to see a competitive bid with Ford dealer to ensure there may be more things wrong with that vehicle. So I would like to make a motion to ask for a competitive bid for that vehicle.
For a new vehicle? Or
No. A competitive bid versus calls bid on what's wrong with this vehicle.
Okay.
And I have no problem buying a new vehicle. And I think maybe we need to look to see if there's more things wrong with this.
Let me return to what call gave us to when I talked to Dean. That was not a thorough inspection. That was just, these are things that could possibly be wrong at this age.
Then I think we need another bid. I think we need a competitive bid with a reputable Ford dealer and just check it out.
For complaints presented or complete vehicle inspection?
Complete vehicle inspection, I would say. And I think we need to go there because we may need to get a new vehicle sooner.
And also, I was also under the understanding, I'm not mechanically inclined or anything like that, that if you take it to a Ford dealership, they have a computer just for Fords. And if you take it to a Chevy dealership, the Ford vehicle, their computer may not be, I don't know if it's going to be, if it would be compatible or not. Like I said, I'm not mechanically inclined, so this is just something I was told, that if you have a Ford, you need to take it to a Ford dealership. And if you have a Chevy, you need to take it to a Chevy dealership because of the computer that they put it on. And I will agree with Cheryl and Larry that we need to do a complete thorough, what would be the word? An inspection. So therefore, in case one person misses something, the other person hopefully may or may not catch it. And who knows how much more
stuff is bad, was that they possibly get into the transmission or whatever.
So is this is a kind of an ongoing item, and I don't want to get too much deeper into it. Is there a councilman that would pick this up and help out? Garrett's going to school pretty quick, so. I think this is a little more than just driving it up there. Somebody that wants to kind of take this on, and I think you are.
Somewhere. Oh, I will do.
Okay. So, because I think you're the council member somewhere over that. So, okay, that way that kind of helps us, helps him. He's going to school.
I think I got fired before you got me, so yeah. But no, I will.
Okay. And I don't think we need a motion for it necessarily. You can just take it as a council member and put any number sign on it.
I guess I need some guidance here.
Larry's the official one.
So I guess I'll work with Larry.
Yeah. And then, of course, work with Garrett because obviously it's a month from now we'll be. In school, so we'll need somebody to kind of pick it up while he's gone, too. So it can be a little more specific in terms of what you're looking for you. Yeah. Okay.
Can I just ask you, currently, do we have it where we're taking the calls for the routine?
Yeah, they've been doing service for the majority of the vehicles, but yes. Yeah. We did some things last year when to do it, but they've done the majority of service for the vehicle, so.
So I have a motion on there to take it to a competitive Ford dealer.
Will you second it?
I don't think you need the motion. I think at this point you all are doing the oversight. You kind of figured out if you work with Amanda and Garrett and make sure before we spend any money what we're getting into it.
Okay.
Who and all those kinds of things so that I think that will work. Would you like to rescind what you... If you see an emotion, I'm going
to open it. Yeah, I guess I need to. That's.
And then that would just.
I'm rescinding that motion because we're going to. Larry and I will work together.
You'll do the research.
And we're going to get it up to a Ford dealer and have it gone through.
And then you'll get the percent.
I will present the report. Larry and I will present the report with Garrett, if he's here.
Okay.
You aren't flying away.
All right. Ignore the last piece there. SDPA intergovernment agreement. Is there, I'll let Amanda go through this. This is the normal annual one, so. With the big agreement with SDPAA.
Go ahead. Much it's just our contract, just kind of finishing up or doing some paperwork with them just to make sure that we understand what it means to be involved in the risk pool, outlining that and showing that there's a board that can take care of the business side of it and investing in that type of thing. So pretty standard.
There's no major differences from the last agreement.
Are there any questions or action on that, please?
I'll make a motion to approve the SDPAA intergovernmental agreement as presented.
Awesome.
Okay. So Larry's made the motion to approve the SDPAA intergovernmental agreement as presented, seconded by Caitlin. Any other discussion or questions? Hearing none. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion passes. You can ignore the bottom one. We'll come back to that. Because as per the amended agenda, we had discussed we'll ask for an executive session for both personnel and legal items.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, so all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. And time is 8:01 p.m. So we will move to executive session.
Yep.
Good.
Hi, Bob.
I'm done.
Okay.
Amanda, you want to grab that stuff that can be copied on the vehicle?